today. You're standing in front of an incredible, evocative, exciting band that's sure to play you some music that you're going to want to dance to. You got to stay seated, though, so you can dance in your chairs. This is Anne Reynolds and Clave Gringa here in our studios with us here at KNKX. And it's Anne's second time in the KNKX studios for a session. And since that last visit, she's released two albums, Joy in 2019 and in 2021, the trio album inspired by women composers that won her the Earshot Golden Ear Award for Best Northwest Jazz Recording. So she's had quite a decade. Yes, please. All right, let's get into the music now. Sit back, enjoy, dance in your seat. We're going to introduce all of the band members as we go along. And let's listen to some great music. Please welcome Anne Reynolds and Clave Gringa.
Well, we're really happy to be here and glad you could all come and join us for this event. You're going to be hearing three original pieces of mine. These are pretty new. They have not been recorded yet. The first one is called Trickster, and there's tricksters in a lot of cultures. They're in the Native American culture. There's the raven, the coyote, depends on which particular group you're talking about. And in the Norse Norse mythology, there is Loki, who is a trickster. Tricksters are usually pranksters, so they kind of... they're kind of fun characters, and yet they're also kind of like a little on edge, too, doing some weird things. The trickster in Afro-Cuban is Elegua, and Elegua is one of the Orishas. Orishas, I consider them sort of spirit guides. And Elegua is the one that opens up a ceremony, if you're having a ceremony that's for connecting with the spirit world. So Elegua is the way in. So we thought it would be appropriate to start with this tune that is in honor of Elegua. You'll hear some drumming, some percussion references to Elegua in the beginning that Willie will do. And then we're going to go into, end up in an Afro-Cuban rumba where we will all solo. So this is Trickster. Hope you enjoy. Thank you. Okay, we're going to give you a couple of other different styles now of Cuban music. The next tune is called Dancing with Your Shadow, and it is a combination of a bolero and a son. Bolero is kind of like a ballad. And the story behind this is that the beginning part, the bolero, is kind of melancholy, and it's a person facing the loss of a loved one. And but then there's a realization that even though you've lost somebody in the physical space, you can still dance with their shadow. And in this case, my shadow is going to be Nathaniel Schlamer on flute. So it's a little interplay between the piano and the flute. And the flute is a very important instrument in Cuban music, has been from the very beginning of all the popular music. So I like to feature the flute.
Thank you.
I just want to take a second to recognize some of our band members here, especially with that flute performance coming from Nathaniel Schleimer, who is doubling on flute and tenor. Give it up, of course, for Mike Mines on the trumpet. Anzi Zadrovny is in the back on bass. Willie Garza is our conguero this afternoon. And of course, Ann Reynolds. Incredible playing from you guys, and you could really hear that last one open up. I saw a lot of nodding heads, polite movement here, and the dance is so visible as well. You can take us into our third song. We can talk a little bit more about the music later, but
okay. We're gonna finish up with these are all pretty recent tunes, and this last one is what I would call a Latin jazz tune. I sometimes refer to this group as playing Cuban jazz, and Maya and I might get into talking about that a little bit too. Latin jazz is this huge category, and as Maya knows, and she plays so much of the wonderful music from all of the different countries. But this one, I just put in the category of it's jazz, it's Latin jazz. And it's called On the Run, and it's sort of homage to our crazy lives where we're just constantly going, going, going. So it's a little up-tempo. Here we go, On the Run.
Thank you.
Let's continue to give it up a little bit for Anne Reynolds and Clave Gringa. So exciting. Once again, that's Willie Garza on the congas. Nathaniel Schleimer on flute and tenor sax. Mike Mines on the trumpet. And Andy Zadrovsny on the bass. So much fun music. We're gonna take a second and talk a little bit about it for the next 10 to 15 minutes. If you don't want to participate, you please leave silently now. But now is the time we get a little bit into the music, especially considering so much of it was Cuban music and Cuban inspired. But I just want to start with this last one that you did. So electric and so fiery. And it's got that big band Machito and Tito Puente sort of vibe to it. Is that why you consider it Latin jazz instead of maybe using Afro-Cuban or anything like that?
Well, yeah. Yeah, it's got a little bit of blues. It's got, you know, it's got a lot of Latin elements to it. I mean, I've been starting to like try to explore a little more bebop in my jazz playing, and so I thought get a little bebop turns in this one too would be good. But yeah, it kind of has more of a, you know, New York Eddie Palmieri kind of like that drive.
There's some sort of Dizzy things in there as well.
Yeah, there's Dizzy, and there's always Monk in my stuff. There's always Monk too. Yeah.
I love how you guys are so genre blending, and I think that has so much to do with, you know, you as a person. Obviously, the band is called Clave Gringa. Gringa meaning sort of foreigner, usually a white person, as you are. Mm-hmm. And then also clave, of course, the rhythm that holds everything together that Willie was sustaining throughout all of the songs. Can you talk a little bit about your relationship to this word? It's kind of a loaded term. It can mean a lot of things. Sometimes it's a joke. Sometimes it's an insult. Sometimes it's endearing. How do you feel about it? You wear it proudly.
Yeah. I guess from my many years of going to Cuba, and I started going in 2000 and went every year for 20 years, spent a couple of weeks there and got really immersed in the culture. And yet I had to admit, I'm gringa. So while I absorbed a lot of the Cuban elements and got very familiar with the styles and also the feel of the playing that music, I still knew there was a part of me that was gringa, and I had to admit that. And then I tried to take in some of what is that part of me as well, which is the jazz and also other musical training that I've had in the States. So for me, I don't consider it an insult. I also, it's got a few different meanings actually in the setup of clave gringa. Some people say, why is it gringa? Well, I said, well, I'm gringa, but also clave, la clave is actually feminine. So it's not going to be a gringo, it's a gringa. So there's a couple of sides to that clave gringa name.
So your relationship with Cuba, the country itself, is really deep since you've been going back for decades. And that is telling in the way that you perform the music. How has that evolved over the years? I mean, when you first started going, you were going and studying at the top conservatory there, their National School of the Arts.
Yes.
And now, how are you feeling about your relationship to the people, the culture, the music, and even the food, although Willie can maybe tell us more about that. Or about food in general.
he's got a food thing going on. Yeah. Okay, so let me go back to when I first went to Cuba. A friend had told me about this program called Plaza Cuba, and it's centered out of Berkeley, California. And back in, actually in the mid-90s, they got a State Department license to go and travel to Cuba to study music and dance. So it was a legal program that we had going down there. When I went down, I didn't really know Cuban music. I mean, it was right after the Buena Vista Social Club had come out. So I'd heard that, and I loved that, and it was really great. But I didn't really know too much about the music at all. I had just been told this was a great program. So I thought, well, I'll go down and study for a couple weeks there. I knew no Spanish. And at that time in 2000, there were not many Americans. And I got to say that the Cubans were great. When they heard you were from the United States, and they were like, they were so thankful that you had made the journey, figured out how to get there. And it was just such a wonderful, warm feeling that they gave to the Americans. As they always said, we love people from the United States. It's the governments that can't get along. And that was so very true. So I saw that was really kind of still in the special period. Things were dismal at that time. But I saw these incredibly generous people. The musicians were amazing, and the teachers were incredible. And because the program was so great, I had to keep going back. I was just like, I've found something. And I fell in love with the music. I fell in love with the culture. I fell in love with the fact that the people are very open and loving. I mean, that island is all about love. And it's and it comes through in their music, and it comes through in the way they live their life, even when it's really difficult. And like I said, 2000, things were difficult. Things got better toward the around 2010, and then when Obama opened up things were looking much better. And then, of course, COVID hit. That they closed themselves off completely during COVID and never really recovered after that, and now are facing, of course, a lot more hardships. I haven't been back since 2022, partly because I don't know that I can help by going back. Sometimes when you go there and you're staying with people, they always serve you, oh, we'll give you coffee. But you know that other people on the island don't have coffee. They don't get coffee any time in the month, you know, and they get 4 eggs a month, and they serve you an egg or two for breakfast, and you're like, I don't want to take this stuff from you, you know? And of course, now it goes beyond just those things, and the fact that there's the energy situation is terrible there, and there are blackouts all the time. So it's very, very difficult right now for the Cubans. And a lot of my musical friends have left the island. If they had a way to leave and go somewhere and make a living, like a lot of people went to Spain. So some of my best mentors really are now off in Spain or somewhere else.
That makes sense. I mean, so much of what we understand as Latin jazz comes from countries that have had a lot of different experiences, and the diaspora that comes out of that is vast. And of course, then you have all of the crossover of the music as well, and that is part of the culture. You've said in the past that even listening when you were studying there in Cuba to them play the piano, those artists play, even the montunos, the rhythmic patterns on the piano, even those felt different. What have you kind of learned from Cuban artists and musicians and Latin artists and musicians that can't be written down on the sheet music?
There's a feel. And once you sit with Cubans playing that music, you get a sense of how to play the montuno that's more than just playing the notes and the rhythms. And I mean, I just feel incredibly fortunate that I was able to go and do that and be there with them. One of my fondest memories was at the school. We had, I think it was about 7 or 8 people crammed into a space that was probably about the size of, sort of the horns and Willie, that, you know, all playing instruments and all playing Cuban son. And it was the most exhilarating experience of my life because everybody, their bodies were in it. That's one of the things that I think a lot of times is missing. People don't understand how to engage entirely their body.
Well, it's dance music.
It's dance music.
You've talked a lot about how so much of these are dance forms. Yeah. And I think some people might understand that there's lots of different types of dance. Waltz is a dance type of music. We don't always think about it as get up and dance music.
Yeah.
But this is get up and dance
this
music.
This is get up and dance. Yeah. And I also feel like this is true of most of the Afro cultures, Afro-Brazilian, Afro-Peruvian, Afro-Cuban. They're very grounded. They're in the earth, and they come from the earth. And that's part of what their whole religion, the Santeria religion, is. All their orishas have representations of, like, this is the river goddess, this is the ocean goddess. So they're very connected to the earth. And that is a beautiful thing, too. And I think that's one of the things that's very common in those Afro diaspora overall.
I think you're totally right, and actually it makes me want to go into the music a little bit to talk about that first tune, Trickster, the tune that you said is representative of the Orisha Elegua. And you've talked a little bit about some of the music being influenced by Santeria, and Santeria being kind of a type of spiritual practice that mixes Afro-Cuban traditions and Catholicism with West African and Yoruba beliefs. And there's all of this different spirituality that's so earth-based. Mm-hmm. But how do you reckon with sometimes those spiritual ideas, the deities and the cosmology and the mythology of it all, in a piece like that, in the trickster piece? How did we hear Elegua?
Well, most of my pieces start with just a little fragment that I sit down at the piano and I just play and I just go, I think that's good. And that, you know, I think that's where that piece kind of came from, was an initial fragment. And then I just felt the, and I have danced a little bit the Orishas. I'm not in the religion, so I can't really speak to the religion. And I don't, you know, say that we're fully representing that. But I have seen the dance, and I have myself danced some of that. So I had the feeling in my body. And I also play the drums a little bit. So when you drum, you also feel things in a different way. So I think that sort of connected me. And then I kind of talked to some of my friends who are Orisha dancers and said, you know, doesn't this kind of seem Elegua-like? And they're like, well, yeah, it is kind of, you know. So it's not, again, we're not taking exactly what it is. And then I'm very fortunate to have Willie Garza in the band, because Willie knows a lot of this. He was in the Bay Area for, that's where he grew up. And he moved up here in 2020.
Well, actually, I would love to ask Willie a question if you'd be so brave to step up to the mic.
Yeah.
I was getting used to the mic not being in my position.
You need the mic, Willie.
Oh, do I need to actually get into my space?
Yeah,
I should.
Yeah, Willie, I...
Questions.
I know. I'm putting the band on the spot, but I was told that you are the least shy of the group.
Oh, really? Is that what they said?
That's what they said.
Yeah, I am.
I don't know if you noticed
that or not.
You know, we wanted to take a second to check in with the band. Percussion is such at the root of all of this music, and it holds everything together. You've been our conguero this afternoon. You've played with another local group here, the Rumba Kings,
here in
Seattle.
Yes.
And I also read that you got a flair for the culinary arts. Maybe we can talk about lunch after this.
Did you share that?
But I did want to know, you know, you're from the Bay Area. When you're playing with artists from outside this Latina culture, in particular, of course, with a gringa like Anne, mm-hmm. And you're behind this name, how do you personally strike that balance between, you know, some cultural authenticity, but also maybe there's the natural fusion that comes out of being in a band, the spontaneity in itself?
That's a lot of questions in that.
Let's break it down.
How do you
feel your balance of, like, you know, how do we stick true to the music and true to the culture, but also how do you provide your own flavor as well?
Well, being from growing up in the Bay Area, I was around a lot of growing up from being familiar playing, growing up with Latin funk and being in the area where Latin rock, Carlos Santana, so that was always another thing too. But also there's a lot of Cubans and just all these great groups, Tower Power, you know, and all these other groups. So I grew up around all this great music growing up. But how I approach coming into playing different styles and just having the respect and honor of that, and it's always study. So that's just what I kind of implement, those things. And I think when it comes to, I'm always learning. I'm not a hardcore practicing Afro-Cuban Santeria, but I'm familiar and I'm always kind of on that path of learning and respecting the art as being a musician, a freelance musician, percussionist, and educator. It's just, I'm always just trying to represent. And also the people who I play with who are also Cuban or from Cuba, I'm always trying to take in how they interpret the music, as Anne was saying, just when you're around them and being fortunate to be around certain people and how they move when they're doing their music, because it's their music, it's part of them. So that's what I'm trying to always grasp, and that's how I learn. It's usually not just by them showing me what to do, it's more about how I see how they are in their art, in their own culture, and how they play and move with it, and then that's...
It's infectious.
Yes, it's just so, I'm always in that form of learning. I'm always a student, and I think that's kind of very important for me to be able to kind of jump around different groups and freelance and just be representative and just trying to honor the art of whatever it is. If I'm playing in this type of music, what Anne writes is very complex and very mixed, so, and that kind of helps, makes me a better musician.
Yeah, I think as teachers, both of you have been educators in some capacity over the years. Yeah. The more you know, they say, the less you know.
Yes.
And
yeah, that's how, how I feel every time. Yeah.
And this band is not claiming authenticity, but it's a beautiful, respectful interpretation of a culture and also of all of the members who get to participate. So we've really enjoyed hearing from the band. As a final sort of closer, a loaded question, what's next? And for you, and Clave
Gringa.
Let
me hand this off to Ann Reynolds here.
Well, thanks, Willie. Kind of you. What's next? Well, you know, Clave Gringa has two CDs that we've produced, and I think we've got enough material to go on and produce a third. So we're considering that and trying to figure that out. It's an interesting time because in the past, when you produce a recording, you actually get some rewards for that, monetary rewards, and these days you don't. So it's a little bit of a different situation when you have to you have to decide, is this the thing to do, put your thousands of dollars, tens of thousands of dollars into a recording and, you know, knowing that you're not going to get anything back. So, you know, it's all for consideration, but since I have my original music, I want it out there recorded. So that's probably where we're going next.
That's awesome.
Do you want to know about gigs coming up, though?
Do you have gigs?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Please. Okay. They want to know.
Now, there's always, you can always go to clavegringa.com. I brought my cheat sheet because we're playing July 18th up in Woodinville at the Wooden Creek. It's like a little village in a village, if you've ever heard of it. And then August 9th, that's a Sunday afternoon, we'll be at Edmonds City Park for an hour, 3 to 4. That's going to be a sextet, actually. We've got a second percussionist coming in on that. And September 19th, we'll be down in Tacoma at Jazz on J Street, which is a really nice program that's going on down there.
Awesome. Well, thank you. This has been Ann Reynolds and Clave Gringa, everybody. And also, thank you so much for being here. All of the musicians, you guys' passion and artistry really shone through. Thank you to our videographer, Tom Moskal. And thank you to our audio engineer, Adam Bird, and our entire KNKX studio session crew. And of course, thank you for our live studio audience. Thank you for listening. And this has been Ann Reynolds and Clave Gringa.